Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Rachel Howie.
Married lady
in the house.
You almost said a name that was not my name.
I know, not anymore. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good
How's
to be
the married
back.
Life?
It's pretty good. It's pretty much the same. Less stress.
It is exactly the same, isn't it?
But less stress.
That's the best thing. And also Josh Brown.
Hello.
Now, before we get into the actual meat of the podcast, we were talking about pancakes versus waffles. And I need to get this out there because apparently it's a big old debate. Rach comes down on the side of waffles.
No, I'm team pancake, man.
Team pancake. Josh, mate.
Team waffles, but potato waffles. Not that sweet crap. Just throw a load of old chocolate syrup on it. Throw a load of sugar on your potato waffles.
No, you're doing a thing. There's no way this is an actual thing. There's no way.
Like bird's eye potato waffles.
Oh, the very same, Rich.
With chocolate on them.
Whatever you want to do.
The youth are far gone.
Get into the bin, Josh.
Listen, eating their hashtag potato cakes.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had potato hashtags, guys?
No.
Josh is the kind of man buried in potato hashtags.
I am, you know.
Might be.
Anyway, video games.
Yeah, video games. I'll be team pancake. But also, we thought we'd do a big old conversation about replayability because obviously the way that the industry's shaken out, most of this year is that, you know, there are recommendable games, but not necessarily so many stories. And we were just talking about different things that we've played across like the summer lull. And a lot of us, well, us in particular, have gone back to old consoles, well, like previous generations and stuff like that. I bought an N64, I got a Game Boy Advance SP. Rach, you've been going back through like Dark Souls and stuff.
This has been something that I've just been doing for the past 5 years. And it's like, I hardly ever play new games. I just keep replaying the old ones. And I keep wondering to myself, like, why do I do this? So I'm really, really excited to be here today.
Good. You represent yourself. And Josh, you've been going back through Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry, Gears of War, Metal Gear Solid, all of them.
You
all
did
them,
yeah,
every single one of them.
You did all the Metal Gears in like 1 week.
I did all the Metal Gears in 1 week. I did all of the Gears of Wars in a week. And then it's taken me a bit longer to do Devil May Cry. But also I was jumping into the PlayStation Classic. I've booted up the PlayStation 2. It's been a strange year because unlike you, Rich, I don't usually do this. It's normally new releases for me. And I rarely ever replay any games at all, but this year has been defined by going back to franchises both that I love but also new ones as well, which has been interesting because I've just been jumping, you know, through entire series and enjoying the hell out of
them.
Because
you've got like a new rule where you go back to like a whole franchise. I know that's something that you've done as well, but if it's like you're going to revisit something, do you then go back to like the first one?
Oh, because... no, I mean, personally, would I not? I'd play the one I want to play.
Same.
But I mean, I guess it's quite cool, like the way you've done it. Like literally you did like all of Metal Gear and all of Devil May Cry. Like
I'm not going to lie. It really burnt me by the time I got to Devil May Cry.
No.
It was fine for either
two. You're hating Devil May Cry 4.
I know. Devil May Cry 4 can suck ass.
It can, but you finished DMC2, one of the worst games of all time, and then you've given up on 4.
It's because I think I knew that Devil May Cry 2 was going to be bad. You'd warned me before when you were like, this is the worst sort of sequel ever. But Devil May Cry 4, I talked about it on a recent Shatty Faces episode, actually. I really enjoyed that back in the day. I thought it was really good. And then going back to it within the context of the franchise changed how I looked at it, which is also kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I have that different, you know, perspective now, but it was disappointing.
5 will save you.
I feel like that's really, really good, obviously, in this kind of line of work. Having those kind of like fresh opinions on older games is good. But then again, you know, we're Scott, who plays everything Telford, probably doesn't have this problem. But for me, a lot of games come up, like even we were talking about Mass Effect 3 earlier, and I've still not got around to playing that. We were talking about Hellblade the other day. I was talking about it with Ash. She was going on about how good it is. Oh, it's so short, Rachel. You should play it. No, I think I'll just go and boot up Diablo 3 for about the 8 billionth time.
How many copies of Diablo 3 do you now have?
I have had Diablo on the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and now the Switch.
Good.
And my hours in it must be about 1,000. It's mental. But I keep keep replaying it. I don't understand. Like, I should be playing these new games.
It's more than fine. One of the things that I put down was just to open the general sort of conversation was like, yeah, which game do you feel like you revisited the most? Mine's Shovel Knight, because I love that thing. Mm. We can break down like the reasons why. But
do you play it from like start to finish, or do you just like boot up for a little bit of night and then...
It's weird. It depends what platform I'm on, because like I have it on everything. I have as many copies of Shovel Knight as I think you do of Diablo. I even have it on 3DS, which I didn't know existed for a while. Then as soon as I did, I was like, I'm getting that as well.
Cute.
But I tend to like dip in, and I think that the early levels are like pure joy, and then it becomes way more of like a hard platformer towards the end, or a harder platformer. So yeah, I tend to just like pick levels and stuff, but it's from a completed save, so I can drop in anywhere.
Yeah, we've talked about this before actually, when there's been sort of remasters and stuff, because I've been talking to you about something coming out, and you're like, try it, and I'm like, ah, I'm not going to jump into something if I'm not going to complete it, or at least with the intention of completing it. But I think that, at least from what I know of you, Scott Tilford, you like to jump into everything and get that fix, and then you're just sort of content to be like, well, you know what, I've got my fill.
I'll put my toes back in after I've like swam in the oceans for a bit. Like I need to, it depends what it is. But like for the most part, I want to finish everything. Because you were saying before we came in that you'll try and finish something at least once, which is why it's so like seismic that you didn't finish DMC4, but nearly everything else you've been through. And then you sort of have like a holistic opinion on it, or like a more complete opinion than you can dip your toes in. But do you guys do that in general anyway? Just play a little bit of something?
I used to be a massive like trophy hunter before I worked here, before I had like, you know, proper full-time employment. I used to be a big trophy hunter, and not the idea of like putting a game aside without completing it was ludicrous. I would never do that. I had to get every trophy that I possibly could. But now I'm a bit more sort of lax on myself, and I just go, look, I've had enough of this game, I've enjoyed it, whatever, it's been brilliant, but now it's, you know, time to play something else, or to replay something else.
Dark Souls again.
Or just time to play Dark Souls again.
Because you think with something like Souls, like, because that thing is so immediate, and like it's weird, because for as hard as Souls is, and its reputation is like all challenging and everything else, something about the way that like Dark Souls plays, or FromSoft stuff plays, is quite like familiar and comfortable, and like you know what you're getting. And like in a way, like, after I finished Dark Souls, I started like putting that back on to like just relax into it again, and it's like insane to play those games in a relaxing fashion.
Yeah.
But like I totally feel that. It's something that you've had as well.
Dark Souls 1 is my most replayed game ever. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying with Shovel Knight, I tend to just do the first few sort of areas, like, because I love trying new things, trying new challenges. I was banging my heads against the gargoyles on the flight home from Iceland recently, and I was just dying over and over again to gargoyles, and I was like, excuse me, this is like the second boss, what is going on? But
did you have like a different build?
But still managed to find that fun. Oh, I was trying a naked two-hand.
So knowing you, it'll be like naked two-hand man with a spear.
Yeah, it was hard for me.
Josh, what would your like sort of game you've revisited the most be?
It honestly might be Dark Souls as well. Hey! You know, especially recently, I go back to that quite often when the remastered version came out, and I finally, because I discover something new about it every single time I go back to it, even though I've played all of the From Software games. Actually, that's a lie. I haven't actually played all of Dark Souls 2. And I missed Demon's Souls. I'm just lying on camera.
What about you? I missed Dark Souls 2?
No, I played bits of it.
Ooh.
But what I was going to say was, I've played Dark Souls 1, I've played Dark Souls 3, I've played Bloodborne, and I love all of those games.
They're the best.
And Sekiro. And I've been back to all of them quite a few times. Mm-hmm. But when I go back to Dark Souls 1, because the first time I played it, I didn't know what a From Software game was, so I didn't really know how to play it. I was sort of, you know, fat rolling all over the place. I didn't have the right build. I wasn't upgrading my weapons correctly. And every single time I go back to that game, I find a new area that I was sort of an amateur at before, and then I learn how to sort of experience it the proper way. It's the third or fourth time I've been through it recently, and it's the only time I've figured out how to properly level my weapons with my build and stuff, because I am terrible at learning systems, apparently.
Josh Brown is parrying the Black Knights now.
Yeah, that, now I'm finally parrying them.
The poise figure is a subject of much debate as to what it should be used for. But I guess like in terms of those games, because I have another thing here about replaying stories. Like, are there some games that you finished the story for, and maybe it was such a massive effort that you've never gone back to it? Like Last of Us, I adore, but I've only played through that like 3 times.
I've only played Last of Us once. I do plan on replaying it, because that was back when it first came out on PS3, which I'm going to say was like 2010?
13.
Oh my God. It feels like so much longer than that. 2013. Oh my goodness. So yeah, I do plan on replaying that before 2 comes out. But no, like if 2 wasn't come out, I probably wouldn't bother.
I guess like, in terms of like re-experiencing a story, like sometimes, because it's weird, like the general length of a game is obviously like the average length of a game is like 15 hours across the board or whatever. So it's like picking a game, I'll just dip back into this. You hardly ever go back through the whole story, or at least I don't.
No. I think if it's a game, like story games for me, I would replay if they have some sort of like choices in them, some sort of different endings to them, something I can do differently the second time around. If it's the same thing again, it would take a really good game that I loved a lot. Like, for example, Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, I'll probably replay that at some point, it would have to be really good to get me to replay it.
Horizon is like one of the ones that I would hold up as like, it. I played through that thing in almost like one sitting. I adored it. I was lucky enough to get it early for the review and everything. And I remember just like burning through it and like coming back into work and be like, oh my God, you guys aren't ready for this game. It's phenomenal and whatever. But once I got that finished, I like knowing how much is in that game. Like I've never replayed an Elder Scrolls. Like I've only ever played Skyrim once and same with Oblivion and Morrowind. And it's like, I'm never going to go back to those games. They're just, they're too much, quote unquote. But I know it's the same thing.
I'm the same when it comes to sort of games that I love, like The Witcher or Skyrim, especially. I've tried to go back to that so many times, and I loved it at the time. I played so many, put so many hours into it, Scott and Rich, and I've bloody spent my entire goddamn all of 2011 and all of 2012 just playing that game, and yet I tried to go back and experience it and go back to it, but I felt a sort of a sense of finality, even though there's so much you can do in that world. I was just sort of, I was done with it, and I wasn't ready to experience that journey from scratch all over again. Whereas I'm completely different to you guys in that I do go back and play single-player games and story-driven games quite a lot. When it comes to the games I played the most, it is Metal Gear Solid 2, it's Dark Souls, it's The Last of Us. I played that so many times on all the different difficulties.
All the way through.
Right. That's the thing, if I go back to a game, because I like going back and finishing it, I rarely jump back into sort of these big experiences because I just kind of feel, no, that's a waste of time, but I don't get much from it if I only... Right. Jump into The Witcher 3 again for 10 hours and I don't finish it. I just kind of put it down. It's satisfying in the moment, but for me, I'd rather go back and complete something again and then have a different perspective on it. Because even though if I play The Witcher again for 10 hours, I'm not really changing my opinion on it, if that makes sense. I'm not getting really anything new. I'm just getting the same experience over again, which is entirely fine and valid and good. But for me, that's... I rarely replay games anyway, so if I do, it's for a purpose.
That's like a split between like a filmic approach, excuse me, like film criticism versus like game criticism. Like, are you going back? Like you said,
I was
going
to ask, do you
something?
Rewatch movies a lot?
No, I don't really know. Not very often. Sometimes, if only the movies that I really love. At the minute, I'm doing this weird thing this year. I don't know why I'm just going through sort of filmographies and gameographies and libraries and stuff. But obviously, I went to see The Irishman at a preview screening at the weekend.
I didn't know you'd already seen this movie.
I've already seen this movie.
Is this movie good, Josh?
It's really, really good. Ooh. It's really long. But in preparation, I went through a lot of old Martin Scorsese movies that I haven't seen since I was about 15. Mm. And I think it's just because I'm at an age now where, when it comes to movies and games, there are a lot of titles from the late 2000s that it's been so long that I can't even really remember how they play, how the story goes. So going back to them, it's almost with fresh eyes. It's almost like I'm experiencing them for the first time. I went to back to Dead Rising last year and absolutely loved it. The way that game played was so good. Mm. And I had way more patience for it as an adult than I did as a kid. So at the point that I'm at now in my life, I just feel like with 10 years of separation or something, I can just reappreciate things, whether it's movies or games or whatever. So I do like to see them, you know, play out in full.
There's something that, like, with me, I kind of realized when I go back to anything that I played when I was a kid that, like, I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. Like, for the most part, I was focused entirely on the gameplay and the mechanics. Like, I was having conversations with my friends in school or whatever, and, like, the story was there. Like, I remember the vague sort of, like, you know, the vague paintbrushes or whatever, the broad strokes of that. Paintbrushes. Broad strokes is the phrase
I was like,
that
why
I
are you playing?
I remember the paintbrushes from
Okami.
And like, I sort of like remember, like, you know, like the, like a blurry vision of that game. I remember why I liked it and I can talk about it. But then sometimes you go back to it and it's like, oh man, like I completely didn't even realize this whole other way of reading this game or whatever. And I don't know if that's just a reflection on like my maturation, like my age or whatever, my like mentality going back to those games, or whether just, I don't know, something to do with like the way the industry's changed. Like, I think BioShock changed the game in terms of like narrative and everything else. So there's a lot of different ways that you can reapproach stuff.
You've like instantly reminded me, like, the one that comes to mind for me recently has been the Spyro Reignited trilogy. Ah. So not only have I been replaying it on the Switch after I've literally just played them all on the PS4 to 100%, and now I'm playing them all again on the Switch. So that in that is like some kind of madness. I don't know why I'm doing it.
Spyro's blooming lush.
I love Spyro. So. And then it's been so nostalgic and so amazing. There's just something lovely about turning on a game and knowing exactly what to expect and knowing exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And obviously they've changed a little bit since I was wee, but just knowing where to go to get that skateboard level and just doing it and just like, just being like, oh, this is so familiar and lovely. It's great. It's so relaxing. I think I was saying to Scott, I was like, is it just because I'm old and stressed all the time? I just want to replay games. I just want to know what to do.
Maybe that's it, you know?
My response to that though is that I think you know what your tastes are as you get older. Like, especially if you've been gaming for as long as we have, like all three of us, or like a lot of people who are listening to this, like you've played so many genres, you know what mechanics you like, you know what kind of, like, you know, character portrayals or weapon types or whatever. Like, you do only hone your tastes over time, so at some point you are going to get more selective.
Yeah, like I can look at something and think, well, that's probably not for me, but then I can be like, oh, I'll just go play Dark Souls again.
But it's like, it's weird as well, because like I said, we've all been revisiting like past gen stuff, and I kind of wonder with the current state of the industry at the minute, there's a lot of bankable formulas and genres and stuff. And I think that variety is not something the industry prioritizes. At the minute. Well, not in the AAA space or anything other than like the indie space.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Tried and tested stuff.
Yeah, and it's days, like, yeah. It kind of makes me yearn for like that time when I was growing up and the industry was like this insane, like there was no limits at all. Whereas like at the minute, it feels like there's a lot of limits sometimes, even if they're sort of like glass ceilings kind of thing. It's like, it doesn't feel like the John Wick game brilliantly is made by Bithell, which is, well, he changed the name of his company, but it's made by Mike Bithell, guy that did Thomas Was Alone. And I love the idea of an indie studio tackling like a major IP. And if that was given to anyone else, they would have done a basic cover shooter with like, you know, like the standard Gears of War style stop and pop mechanics, and it would have just been that. But the John game, because it's made by an indie studio, is like a like isometric turn-based strategy game.
It's
where
bizarre,
you're,
yeah.
It's so good. You're like allocating for like time in split seconds, so it's like, well, this takedown will take 2 seconds, but like this bullet coming at me is going to take like a quarter of a second, so I need to be out the way before this bullet comes at me or whatever. And it's like you're thinking through a scenario like John Wick, and I love that they took that risk with it. And I feel like that sort of, you know, you'd get more of that stuff across the 2000s. I feel like they're so much rarer now that like something with a known quantity or a known IP actually has a unique game mechanic. I don't know if it's like that year for variety that like makes us go backwards.
I think it might be, you know, when I look at the games that I've enjoyed the most that I've gone back to, it's sort of, it was those four Metal Gear Solid games, and it was fascinating to see how the identity of that series stayed the same throughout all of the games, and yet all of them changed substantially from one title to the next. None of them played identically, even if they might have had similar systems or similar focuses on, you know, a specific brand of gameplay. Even the jump from two to three is massive, and even the jump from
three
one
from
to
four
two,
is nuts. As
three
well.
From four is nuts. The one to two is more subtle, and yet when you play them back to back, even that's nuts. But you can appreciate sort of the refinements and the sort of revolutions in sort of like game design from the time. There was real substantial change between each one of these games that I just don't know if you you find in franchises so much these days. I love Gears of War, but going back and playing all those, even though I really enjoyed them, and I think they're authored and well-scripted, they all virtually played sort of identically.
Yeah, yeah,
and that
totally.
that was nice, and it was good, and it was comforting. But I wonder if I would have had the same feelings I had towards Devil May Cry, because I was playing that for essentially the first time, where I was kind of got a bit bored because I didn't have that prior attachment to it. I wonder if I went back to Gears of War and played it all then back to back, you know, with fresh eyes, I might have thought the same thing.
It's kind of like a split thing, because do you tend to find that, like, you're going back because you want something that's more original, or it is that thing of like, well, I know what I'm getting. Like, it's like, because it's that split between, like, is a game franchise traditional and, like, true to its roots, or, like, is it, like, lacking because they're just doing the quote-unquote the same thing over and over again? Like, something like Zelda did one thing immaculately well until Breath of the Wild, and then it completely changed.
That's the thing, because you have, like we said, like, we know what to expect. I think we have this expectation, so I'll go in knowing what I'm going to get, probably, I would say.
Because, like, for me, the thing is with Zelda, like, I went back over it, I've got, like, I used to have two massive gaps in my gaming knowledge, which is Metroid and Zelda, and that was, like, a few years ago, and I was like, right, I'm literally going to buy every single one of them, I'm going to play all of them in one big row.
How'd you get on with Zelda 2, mate?
Oh, God, I didn't finish Zelda 2. Thankfully, none of our lists are dependent on finishing Zelda 2. That's why I got through it. I'd like to do that eventually. But went all the way through all the Zeldas, went through all the Metroids. I'm still going through Minish Cap at the minute for the Zeldas. That's why I got my Game Boy Advance SP.
Yeah.
Or Advance. But that's the thing. It's weird because for as much as those games have changed, Breath of the Wild is the biggest departure for Zelda. But Zelda, like, from the first one all the way through to Twilight Princess, like, you can play them in a way, once you get the... Which one?
Skyward Sword.
I haven't played that one because it's on the Wii. I haven't got the motion controls. But whatever. Those games, though, like, obviously they're quite formulaic. They have the dungeons. You got the item-based progression. Like, you know, you can't get past this bit till you get the bomb. You're blowing away walls in every single one of them. Like, it's very much like it carries through. And I think if you've played the new one, you're still, quote-unquote, prepared for the old ones. And it weirdly retroactively makes the old ones still feel fresh and approachable. And you know what you're getting. And, like, you can, like you said about, like, a legacy or, like, a... It's almost like traditionalism. It's like, well, they stuck to a certain formula. Like, Gears of War 1 is still totally playable because it's very similar to Gears 5. But, like, the modern industry, like Division 1, Division 2, Destiny 2, Ghost Recon, like, you're not going to go back to those games because they're, like, too similar. It's almost like there's a weird little gap to get
I
feel you.
It's sort of like when you get new FIFA games. And
I was just
going to
say the FIFA thing.
Yeah, they become sort of instantly redundant, and then you see them in secondhand shops for, like, £1. I'm sure you can buy FIFA 19 at the moment. Yeah, for so cheap, because at that point, they just kind of become obsolete. And I feel like when it comes to certain games now, we've sort of got to that space when you have the likes of The Division or Destiny 1, no one's really going to go back and play those games, because now you've got Destiny 2, which does everything kind of better, and that's where the community is now, and then the other games just sort of get shut off.
They're
essentially
also, like, stripped of all, like, narrative and, like, for the want of a better word, soul. Like, you went back to, like, the Metal Gear games. Like, obviously Hideo Kojima was an overseer for that whole thing, but you go back to the original Metal Gear Solid and you can see what he was going for. And even if, like, you go back to Metal Gear 2, you can see the differences, but there's still charm and a purpose to that original
one.
It was a series
with a story, though, a story that goes from one until the present. Like, saying something like Destiny, I mean, Destiny's well known for not really having much of a story.
Nah, it's got a bunch of lore, but you've got to go looking for
it. I can see why you wouldn't really be in a hurry to replay that, but, like, if you were wanting to replay Metal Gear, I can see why you'd want to replay all of those because of this whole
definitely
story.
The story starts somewhere, but even if you take, like, Zelda, it's like you could go back to the original Zelda or, like Ocarina or whatever, and you'd still get something out of it in terms of, like, those mechanics still hold true.
I think that's what I got from Gears of War. I think that's why, for me, that holds up more than the Devil May Cry series does, because even though those games are really similar when it comes to sort of their presentation and the sort of tone and atmosphere they're going for, they are very different. Like, the first game is essentially a survival horror game. It's very oppressive. You can't move around at night. It is way more, you know, indebted to the horror genre than I expected it to be, because number two is obviously balls to the wall crazy. You're underground in the Locust Lair for a lot of it. And then even three is,
two,
you know...
Just,
I love
you
it.
Know what? Two didn't hold up as much as I thought.
This is a very good point.
Really good.
This is why I will never replay Gears of War 2, because I know that in my heart, I know that it won't be as good the second time.
I had this down as well about, like, the blanket of nostalgia and whether it's, like, better to just kind of, like, live with the version of the game that you grew up with. Yeah, or whether, like, because like you said, you get a new perspective, but then sometimes it's like, oh man, like, this character isn't as great as I thought, or, like, whatever. I have to contend that Devil May Cry does not hold up as well as Gears of War, but that's a podcast for another time. Although, like, DMC2 probably tanks the whole thing.
That's that's it. When it comes to sort of DMC, you can sort of, like, so you can see what they're going for, but DMC 1 is kind of this rough around the edges experiment, more or less. Then you get DMC 2, which sort of sucks all the soul out of it, and it's kind of pieced together. Then DMC 3 probably epitomizes what they were going for initially. It's fully realizing all of the mechanics. And then DMC 4, again, is kind of a step back towards
3 and 5
DMC
are the only two brilliant ones.
It's like Star Trek. It's like that thing where every even Star Trek number, every even Star Trek film is bad, and every sequel is good or something. I don't know.
But yeah, I guess in DMC's case, like the that's like a weird experiment with the first one. It's kind of like the first Uncharted. Like, what Uncharted became is not at all what it started out as. Like, the first Uncharted is this weird kind of half-broken cover shooter that feels terrible. But like, sometimes nostalgia will kind of get you through. But yeah, I guess like I was gonna have like another sort of comment on like the industry today is like obsessed with retention about games as a service and, you know, keeping you hooked and whatever. But they do that through numbing you by just like giving you the same thing literally over and over again.
Well, this sort of leads into my question that I was going to pose to you guys. Do you guys have you or do you, and don't think you do, but have you in the past ever got like proper addicted to an MMO?
I've still never played an MMO. I've played like 5 seconds of Warcraft at an exhibition.
Tried to get into DC Universe Online and just couldn't do it. I must have played about 10 hours and was like, ah, man.
Like 600 hours into Warcraft. So I know the pull. But I have
only 600.
Yeah, so much. That's although cute. Speaking of like dailies and stuff, I'm literally logging into Call of Duty Mobile every day. Okay. Like, I'm playing that every single
day. See, I guess mobile games are very rooted in like getting you to log in every day for sure. Like, WoW is obviously like that. Like, I played the bot ton of Warcraft, and I feel like that is where the root of the like love of repetition comes from. Because everyone knows like children proper love repetition, but then it's like you never really think of like adults loving it because like I go to my boring job every day and it's the same
in
thing
my
every
sepia
day.
Toned life.
It is horrible. I have to do the same thing. And so you sort of associate that with like you hate repetition, it's boring, but then you think about doing fetch quests in World of Warcraft and it's actually secretly amazing.
And people were completely like in love with that structure way before all the games as a service stuff came out. Like, it was kind of the original.
Well, yeah, like MMO was the original games as a service, but you paid for it. You paid for it each month and you still do. But like games like, for example, like Fortnite, because obviously that's quite current news at the minute. That people not
it's currently back online, by the way.
It's back
to this,
finally after what 20 30,
like
30 hours, something
yeah,
like that.
Season 2 is online,
but yeah, people are obviously like they are continuing to support that, and some people are not spending money on that, and I think that's really cool, like having the option.
But like, yeah, in terms of like those mechanics though, because I had a whole point about like beloved worlds that you want to spend time in, like Dark Souls feels good to spend time in, like you kind of like the decor, the art, like the art direction and stuff. I love the Witcher's world, mainly because I came across from the books, so it's like, well, I want to like plug back into that world and literally just live as a supernatural bounty hunter for a while and go do some side missions. And like that's way more satisfying than like than dipping your toes in something like a Division or a Ghost Recon. But like, those games are still so satisfying, but for me they lose something because they're so focused on just the mechanics. Like, you know, you go back to the old Metal Gears, the Devil May Cry, like I said, they have souls, they have like creativity outside of just a basic mechanic that you're going back to.
This is where I want to throw back to you guys, because you mentioned something at the beginning, Rich, where you were saying the games that you go back to are sort of ones that are familiar to you, whether it's like World of Warcraft or Diablo or, you know, Dark Souls, and you go back and you go through it. A few of those are sort of persistent ongoing worlds, like your Divisions or something, where you just keep going, you keep progressing, you keep engaging with this journey or something like that. With me, that scares me too much when it comes to sort of games that I don't know if I'll ever finish. I was really scared about The Outer Worlds, for instance, because
that's literally my fear with this game.
I was thinking, how am I going to have time to, you know, put 100 hours into this game? And I found out very recently, apparently it's only around 40 hours, which is more manageable.
You don't have to complete it all in the first year, Josh Brown.
But,
you don't have
to complete
it in the
fact that it is so
big,
I think.
You could complete it eventually.
See, Red.
Many years in the future.
Eventually.
An absolutely solid theory. But I know in my heart of hearts, I know who I am. And I'm someone, if I put a game down, there is no chance I'm going back to it in 6 months to finish it. I planned to do that with Watch Dogs 2 2 years ago. And I still haven't
gone
back to
it. You're never going to get back
to
that.
No, never ever going to do it. For me, when it comes to sort of anything, and I don't know whether you guys are different, but whether it comes to
Mass Effect
movies or TV shows, I won't start a TV show unless I know it's got an end in sight or it's already finished.
That's just the thing that puts me
stresses me out a little bit.
You worry too much.
I do. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
But it's like, it's the sheer like size of a given thing, because you want to know that your time invested is worthwhile and you want to get something out of it, and sometimes that's only going to happen.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and it's like, in a TV show's case, you assume that the thing you're going to get out of it is related to it being a full season or whatever. So, like, but and it depends on the show, it depends on the game. But, like, something like The Outer Worlds, yeah, I'm with that. I'm like, it's another massive 100-hour RPG that I can kind of play for a bit and I might not finish it. And, like, that kind of puts me off. But I tend to view it like it's the, I view the whole game at once. I don't just view, like, I can do, like, a bit of it and it'll be satisfying. I view, like, is all of this worth my time? And if I'm not going to finish, should I even start, kind of thing.
So do you think a little bit of it is on, obviously, we're adults, we have jobs, we have chores and girlfriends
those,
and
those
stuff.
Like older games though are like more surmountable because you know in retrospect how much time it took
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we
you can
only
do it again.
Have, say we have like 4 hours a night for gaming, if you're lucky. Like, are you gonna invest those 4 hours into a tiny bit of a game and maybe get nowhere? Like say you get stuck on something you've never played, or are you just gonna jump back into Dark Souls for 4 hours?
Finish it again.
See, this is something I can get on board with because that's where I'm at right now. Mm. Unless it's a new game, I won't go back and put that time investment into something old unless I really, really loved it. Say a new Red Dead Redemption came out tomorrow and I would drop everything and play that until I was
dead. You'd have to take time off work.
But I would have to take time off work again, yeah. But I would sort of, when it comes to The Outer Worlds, my plan is to not play anything else around it. I'm literally going to play until I'm done with it and then I'll move on. I couldn't start something else. And that's sort of, I think, why I'm, like you said, I'm enjoying these older games because I can look at Devil May Cry 2, look at howlongtobeat.com, realize it's only about
that
4 hours
long. That website is
long.
a godsend.
And then I'm just thinking, that's my week. That's a night. That's today. Tomorrow, then I'll have finished it. I'll have the satisfaction of playing through something entirely, and then I can move on. It's not just chipping away because I do think there is something, like you said, numbing about those big experiences where you're encouraged to log on, you're encouraged to do your dailies. But what have I achieved?
Yeah.
And I'm at a point where just checking something off a checklist. I mentioned this in the last podcast. Just isn't satisfying anymore. If it's just sort of some arbitrary leveling up system or some arbitrary, you know, XP system, that's not appealing
if all you're doing is making the numbers move.
I want the characters, I want the world, I want the stories, I want the experience of, you know, interacting with the environment and having an impact on it. I don't just want a little meter to be filled and that's me done for the day. Otherwise I'd hit my head off a table.
At least not until Modern Warfare comes up.
Oh god,
and we'll play that with our Monster Energy drinks for weeks on end.
Well, this is a funny distinction.
We have no more time, Josh.
Well, I'm going to throw it back out. You know? I'm going to go rogue because all of this completely changes if we're talking about multiplayer games. Those I will jump back in all the time and play over and over again in a rote way, and I will enjoy and
alone?
I'll go back to after the fact.
I'll play alone.
Alone?
Yeah.
Alone. Yeah.
Well,
alone?
You connect with people online, but I'm not playing in groups. Overwatch.
I'm not playing with groups.
I know everyone says you're supposed to play in squads, but I ain't got no squads.
You know, Rainbow Six Siege, I'm good enough. I could just take out the entire team.
Because that game is so serious, I played with Ewan once and I just ran out in front of everybody, making a whole bunch of noise and clumping around everywhere. And
yes,
I thought
Scott,
it was hilarious.
I was there. I was in the party. I was there. Yeah, it was like watching a toddler like walk around a playpen in their underpants, smashing toys off things.
Because everyone told me I was doing it wrong and everyone getting genuinely annoyed just made me laugh even more.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, but anyway, I will extend the question down into the comment section below if you're watching on YouTube, or you can come find us on social media if you're listening on the audio platforms. What makes the best replayable games and what do you miss from the past generation?
And why? Is it Dark Souls?
Yes. And also Diablo and whatever we said.
Devil May Cry 2.
Yes, but let us know what you think. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast and I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Howie.
Yay!
And Josh Brown.
Hello. I'm
and
not.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Catch you next time.
Ciao.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.